will shine a searing spotlight on the entertainment industry's role in the devolution of our nation with motion picture icon Kevin Sorbo on this episode of United Patriots Uprising with Gary Benford. I'm your host, Gary Benford. Thanks for joining us. This podcast can be found at radioinfluence.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. The video version, you can find that at YouTube, Rumble, and Conservative Television of America. In either case, please subscribe, leave a rating and a review, click that notification button so you will get all the episodes on time. And if you like what you're watching, please give us a like click. You know, there was a time in which motion pictures and television, you could sit down around the TV or you could go to the movie as a family and you could watch something and come out feeling inspired, feeling nurtured, feeling good on your soul, and it was families, and it was wholesome, and it was pro-America, and it was pro-God, and the good guys may struggle a little bit, but in the end, the bad guys never won. Well, unfortunately, those days are over. How do we get here, and is there anything that can be done about it? Well, that's what we're going to get into with our guest, because he's got a lot to say, because he's been on both sides of this coin, having been an actor and working as the producer and the director and seeing how Hollywood tried to handle him. But this is a guy that always fights back. So are you ready? Well, let's get into it. He's a renowned actor, director, and producer who is dedicated to creating stories that inspire and nurture the soul. Hollywood tried to take him down, but don't you know, and shouldn't they know, you cannot take down Hercules. So I welcome back to the show the founder of Sorbo Studios, Mr. Kevin Sorbo. Kevin, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you, sir? Good to see you again.
It's great to see you too. And you know, what's interesting about this, this is your fourth time back. I'm finally glad to get you on video, because I started video in January. And you were the one guest that I get. If they don't see you on my show for 8 months, I start getting, when are you having Kevin Sorbo back? So you are totally beloved. And you know, you've been making great movies, and we'll get into what you're doing. But the question we want to know, because right now the focus of my show has been on saving America, but in order to save America, you need to know what to save America from. So what has gone wrong? I remember growing up in a day when the movies were wholesome. Everybody could go. Family could go. The TV shows were wholesome. And now all of a sudden, but it's not all of a sudden. It's taken, what, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years. But what has gone wrong, and where are we?
Well, you know, I think it started back in the 60s. I mean, there was no, there were no ratings on movies prior to the 1960s. Every movie is pretty much a G or PG type of rated movie. But the 60s, you know, you talk the assassination of the Kennedys, Martin Luther King. You talk about rock and roll, really. I mean, the birth, obviously, was back in the 50s with Jerry Lee Lewis and Elvis. But the 60s... The 60s became much more political. You had the Vietnam War, of course, you had the free love, you had the hippie movement, and they started celebrating, when I say they, Hollywood started celebrating the anti-hero. They got away from the good guy being the good guy, and they started celebrating the bad guy, and it's just gotten worse since then. And if you look at the sitcoms in the 70s, 80s, 90s, it wasn't Father Knows Best or My Three Sons or anything like that anymore. It was sitcoms that had the dads were out of shape, a little chunky, moms were babes, the teenage kids just made fun of dad, and there was this sort of attack on the family unit. It was very subtle at first, but it was certainly there. I mean, Murphy Brown sort of broke the ground with, I don't need a man in my life to be successful. Mm-hmm. And we started really getting away from families, and certainly fathers being an integral part of the family. And if you look at the Welfare Reform Act of 1964 under LBJ, that whole thing, it's amazing what they did, because in the black culture in America, they had a much lower divorce rate. Families stayed together. That act really broke up the African-American families. Now you got 80% of kids in the black communities growing up without a father. And you see this downfall of it. You see the spill of that. You see what's going on in the streets of Chicago and New York, Minneapolis, my home city, L.A., and it goes on and on and on. And it's just, it's amazing to me what we've done to bring down America. And you know, it used to be the American dream, right? Now you work hard, you become successful after 10, 15 years of working 100-hour weeks, and now you're attacked for being successful. It's just, it's weird what we're doing, and it seems to be on purpose, which is even more sad. And that starts with our government and funnels right down to our public education and universities as well.
You're so right about that. Now, when you were in Hollywood before they tried to stamp you out, could you see this coming, or was it just a gradual thing, or could you see it and realize, hey, this isn't, I don't like the way, the direction this is going, and did you ever think they'd get this far?
I didn't think if you said 5 years ago, I saw the craziness of what we're doing. I never thought that we'd be where we are just 5 years ago. But I you know what, I moved to LA in 86 and through the late 80s, early 90s, I saw some stuff, but people, you know, they knew where I stood as conservative on movie sets, and we would talk. Some people get in my face about it, like trying to, you know, jokingly or whatever, but it's not like it is now where it's just vile and filled with so much anger and hatred. And I look at the Democrats, the liberal party, and they need to look up the word liberal and the definition of that word, because honestly, it's about everybody's point of view is okay. We're the party of peace and togetherness. They're not. They're the party of hatred and anger and divisiveness and violence and over-sexualization. I mean, it's crazy what's going on. You look at COVID. I mean, if you remember in the 60s, the whole idea was don't trust the man. The government was the man. The liberals are the first people to jump out during the COVID era and say, take the shots, you're going to kill grandmother, wear the mask. Everything the government said, they all of a sudden were bowing down to. It's amazing how much control now the government has, because, you know, we live in an era now where the government wants total control of our lives from cradle to grave.
Right. And it's funny you brought up the man, because being black and being in college in the early 70s, that's all they talked about. We talked about the man, and it was a negative thing. Beware of the man. You know, Curtis Mayfield was singing about the man, and everybody was a man. And now everybody's bowing down to the man. We're not, but so many people are, you know.
Oh,
it's amazing.
You get attacked. Larry Elder's a dear friend of mine. He gets attacked. Mm-hmm. I mean, I honestly believe in the recount they had on against Newsom. Yeah. I believe he won. Mm-hmm. He won the election. Mm-hmm. I think California is far more red than people realize, but there's so much power in voter fraud going on, and it's blatant. You can't have an honest election with mail-in voting. You just can't. And I'm saying that for either side. Either side can cheat. We got to get rid of mail-in voting because it's absolutely insane. And I don't know how many elections go over and over again that they find, like in Chicago, for instance, we found 400,000 ballots that were from dead people. You know? Yeah. So it's crazy what we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you talk to people, is it different trying to talk now to trying to talk sense into liberals as opposed to, say, 30 years ago?
Oh, no question. I mean, it's now they just yell very loudly and throw phrases at you. You know, Trump's a racist. And I go, okay, how is he a racist? Give me examples. They don't have any examples.
Right.
I go, what policies of Trump did you hate when he was president? He's an asshole. Okay, pardon my French.
That's okay.
Being an asshole is not a policy. What policies did you hate?
Right,
they can't
name
anything. They just get their little bits of information from the mainstream media, and it's just really just headlines, and they just go with that. They have nothing to back it up. There was a woman I found very interesting, very attractive woman. She was on college campuses. She was probably 23, 24 years old, and she was Asian, Japanese, Chinese. I don't know for sure, so forgive me. Don't come after me for it. And she went up to these women saying, okay, women of color, women of different ethnicities, and said, so do white men have a bit more rights than you do? And they went, oh, yes, they get so much more rights, it's not fair. What rights do they have that you don't have? They didn't know how to answer it.
Right.
They didn't know how to answer it. They go, well, I know they do, but I got to go to class. I'm late. It shows the ridiculousness and the uneducated level and the ignorance of these people when they don't spend the time to really look and see what they're complaining about. And it's just because we live in a very instantaneous, everybody's angry, everybody's unhappy, and that they think that they yell louder than you, they've won the argument.
Yeah, because they have nothing. They have nothing. They have no facts on their side. They have no truth on their side. So all they can do is try and out yell you. And what they want you to do is yell back. Then it gets into a name calling contest. But if you just maintain your cool and just keep giving them truth, they'll turn into, you know, the Wicked Witch of the West, Margaret Hamilton, and they'll melt. Kevin, do you think people understand how much the boob tube and the big screen has influenced their life in a negative way?
No, I think it's it's been very slow and very methodical. They're very smart in Hollywood. They know what they're doing. And Andrew Breitbart, my dear friend, he said, way before he passed away, starting with Blaze and everything, and he said politics runs downstream from culture. Who runs the culture? Hollywood does. The mainstream media does. The universities do. Bill Maher is a JFK Democrat. He is not a Democrat. He more and more in the last couple of years, he's saying stuff that people are going, wait a minute. And his audience is saying, what are you talking about? Because he sees the craziness of what the party's doing. And he even said about a month ago, he said, do not send your kids to American universities. That's incredible coming from Bill Maher, because Bill Maher is a smart guy. I used to be on his show Politically Incorrect. I did about three or four episodes back in the day. And he's a very smart guy. He's not a dummy, and he knows he sees what's going on in the party, and he knows that it's bad for what's happening to America.
Yeah. Well, can you fill people in, because you've been on all three ends of it. You've been an actor, an acclaimed actor. You've been a producer, an acclaimed producer, and you've been a director, an acclaimed director. Can you fill America in on how they're being hoodwinked, how they're being systematically led to the slaughter in immoral, anti-American, and anti-Christian ways through the movies and the television shows they watch? Because said they don't get it. Point it out. Let them know.
I think it's through social media. I think it's through places like TikTok, where China controls everything. They'll help people along that are putting out really violent negative messages, and they're getting, and then they make sure that these guys get paid and make money, and other people see it. I'm gonna do that too. Yeah. I'm gonna do this and do that instead of being a positive thing. In China, they control TikTok completely. Everything in China is positive reinforcement for the Chinese. You are wonderful. You are a good athlete. You are a good student. It's all positive. They don't want any of the crap that's coming on in our country that totally, and you know, just making these kids go down completely wrong road. And this happens through television, happens through movies. Look at Hollywood's movies. Look at the wokeness that Disney became. Disney's going to lose. They lost over $1 billion last year, $1 billion in the movies, because they're not staying with their brand. They know who their audience is. And now they're making their audience get angry at them, saying, why are you pushing these agendas down our throats? And they answered Disney with not going to the movies. So people need to wake up. People, you know what? I did a thing called Climate Hustle too. And Amazon wouldn't let us put it on Amazon for streaming. And you're going, well, why can't we have the other side of the climate issue? Why do we?
Right.
It's always just, for the last 25 years, we've been scaring everybody, spending trillions of dollars, wasting trillions of dollars. And what I think is a complete scam and a sham. It's insane. Why can't, you can put out Al Gore's Inconvenient Truth, then put out Climate Hustle. Let everybody look at it and decide for themselves. I don't want to, you know, yell at people saying you're believing the wrong thing, or have them say it back to me. Look at both sides of the issue and really look at it, because there's just as many scientists on both sides, and make up your own mind. But they won't even let us do that. It's why won't they let us do that? It's crazy to me.
Isn't it interesting that you want to make movies about the other side, and all you want to do is just put out the other side of what is being said, and it's all being shut down. This isn't the first time. You've been shut down several times. And isn't it interesting that people are shutting you down are the people that claim they're for free speech?
Yeah, they're not for free speech. We're losing free speech constantly. And who are these people that have the power to cancel people? Who are these perfect human beings that have no sin in their lives, nothing bad they've ever done, but they can go after you or me and go back 35 years ago. My gosh, you were in a bar when you were 22 years old and you flirted with a girl. I mean, it's just like, show me one guy that doesn't, you know?
Right.
So it's weird that we're doing and we're letting this happen, because I want to meet these people that are such amazingly sinless, perfect people that can cancel you and cancel me, these trolls out there. And they say, this is hate speech. I go, wait a minute, you're the hate speech. Your anger towards me and the vile things you say to me and about things you want to do to my family is unbelievable. I'm not out there threatening people's lives. I'm just saying, hey guys, let's look at this other issue. Look, the movies that I do are movies that Hollywood used to do. I'm in movies that have hope and love and redemption, things that are missing in this country. And Hollywood used to do those things, and they don't seem to want to do them anymore. Well, I want to do the movie that the good guy does win. I want to do a movie that makes you laugh, makes you think, makes you cry, makes you have hope, makes you find out faith is a good thing, whether you're religious or not. It's still good to have a faith of some kind that you believe in. Something good is out there. And we need to keep fighting the good fight, and I'm going to keep doing it.
I hear you. You know, back in the late 50s, former FBI agent W. Cleon Skousen warned that the communists, part of the goal was to get control of the motion pictures, get control of the news media, and get control of radio and television. And it sure looks like they've done this. So is it fair to say this is all a part of the Marxist socialists leading us down that path to communism, and they're just indoctrinating us into everything that would be anti-God and anti-American, and people are falling for it?
I think it was Brezhnev, when he was president of Russia back in the day, he said, we don't need to overrun America. We don't need to have a war with America. Communism and socialism will eventually get in there, because it just always happens to great societies. It just happens. And we have so many sheep in this country right now, so many people that have just given up, and they just want the government to take care of them. They want George Soros to take care of them. They want your tax dollars and my tax dollars to take care of them. And in the meantime, they're going to march down streets. They're going to burn down other people's businesses, attack the police, burn down police stations and overturn cars. And it's so strange that we're letting lawlessness in this country. It's so strange that it's on purpose that Biden has let 10 million people has fled across the border, when Trump's 4 years, 1.4 million came across. We said 10 million in 3 years. I've already read from a number of different sources, they're estimating 500,000 or more terrorists are now in America. You think we're going to have a 9/11 again? You better believe we will. And it's going to happen in 20 cities on the same time on the same day. And people are going to go, wow, how did this happen? I'll tell you, you know, these people that want open borders, I always ask them when I meet them, by the way, do you lock your doors at night when you go to bed? Well, yeah. Oh, really? Why? Why do you lock? Well, we don't want somebody breaking in. Well, you're letting in millions of people break into the House of America, and you're like, okay with that. People are just absolutely crazy. I want everybody in this country that wants this to be socialist, communist country, please leave the country. We'll use our tax dollars. We'll send them North Korea, Cuba, Venezuela, Russia. You can go live in those countries, and utopia is already set up for you. Perfect for all of you guys.
Yeah. And something, just to piggyback on something Kevin just said, if you're not of our age, when he was talking about people like, why do you lock your doors? It may make sense to you, well, I don't want anybody to break in. But when I was a kid, nobody locked their doors. Nobody locked their cars. You just knocked on a door and walked into your friend's house because the door was never locked. A lot of people don't remember those days when America was somebody in the community, just walked right in and you weren't worried about them. Even people used to leave their keys in their car.
Yeah, I did growing up in the 70s. Yeah. We never locked our front door. The car doors were always unlocked. We didn't worry about it. And then it changed. And when we're letting it change, because we're letting people just do whatever the heck they want. We're letting people go into stores these last 3 years and steal as much as they want. Don't take more than $950. Yeah, that's what they're worried about when I see his videos, when they run in there and grab 10 Versace suits worth about $50,000. I mean, I would put our vets that we treat so poorly. I would put two vets in every store across America and in every elementary and junior high and high school across this country, and they can pack their weapons. And I guarantee you, we'll stop school shootings. We'll stop these shootings in public places very quickly, and give them dental, give them health, give them everything. We got to treat our vets better.
You're right about that. They put their life on their line for our country. And I feel so bad. Back when I was a liberal, when they came home and look at these old broke down guys. I didn't understand. I've repented for that. I didn't understand. They paid a price I wasn't willing to pay, or wasn't even asked to pay, for this nation to help keep us free. I so treasure them now. Kevin, before I ask you to tell people why you're fighting back and what you're doing to fight back, I think it's important for those who may not know to understand why you found yourself in a position to fight back anyway, because you're one of the ones that they tried to cancel.
You know, it's interesting. My agent and manager said goodbye to me about a dozen years ago. They said, you're conservative and you're Christian, and that's tough to get work in Hollywood. And I laughed at him. I said, you're the ones in this industry that scream for freedom of speech and tolerance. And we all know it's a one-way street with these people. It's unbelievable. The hypocrisy is amazing in Hollywood, just like it is in Washington, D.C. They live in their own bubbles. You know, you look at the Oscars and Emmys and SAG, all these awards, nobody cares anymore. Their ratings keep going down, down, down. But I don't think little Hollywood cares. I think these little A-listers just love, this is our life. Please pat me on the back. And it's kind of sad. Every movie I've been doing for the last 6, 7 years, I get at least one person, if not more, coming up to me individually, whether the camera guy, lighting guy, another actor, saying, hey, thanks for being a voice for us. We know you're getting attacked, but thank God you're speaking up for us. And I go, well, speak up for yourself. We need to wake up the lions. The lions need to wake up. The sheep are going to be the sheep. The biggest killer in America to me is apathy. People just, oh, what can I do? They give up, and they've just given up on life. Maybe they failed once in their life and they said, I can't do it. It's your fault. It's God's fault. It's somebody's fault. It's not my fault. Well, look in the damn mirror. Cue Michael Jackson's Man in the Mirror song. Take responsibility for your lives and quit blaming everybody else for your downfalls.
Right. And what you did, instead of hanging your head, you fought back. So tell people how you've been fighting back and what your latest projects are right now that's part of you putting out what needs to be put out.
Well, we formed SorboStudios.com, my wife and I. We do our own independent movies. We have to try to raise our own money for the movies that we do. I've had a lot of other independent producers and companies come to me as well. So I've stayed very busy. I've shot over 80 movies, and I've shot probably 60 of those since Hollywood gave me the boot. They're wonderful family movies. They're wonderful message movies. I had two movies that I directed at theaters last year. One is called Miracle in East Texas, true story about the largest oil fund in the history of the world. There's a wonderful cast with Lou Gossett Jr. and Tyler Mane and John Ratzenberger. My wife Sam was awesome in it. Then I did Left Behind, Rise of the Antichrist with Corbin Burnson and Neil McDonough. Wonderful, based on the Left Behind books that sold 80 million copies back in the 90s. And I've got four movies coming up this year. They're all in post-production. I got three documentaries coming out. I just spent 3 weeks in Israel before the war started filming it's called The Quest for the Throne of God. I was basically Indiana Jones. Through archaeological digs, we followed the flow of the Ark of the Covenant. It's very fascinating. I love documentaries. I've done about 10 of them now. I love the educational value of them. And we need to start showing these things in schools, because we're erasing American history. We're throwing down statues. We're rewriting the world. Every country has good and bad history, guys. It's as simple as that. To go after our founding fathers, these guys were bloody brilliant. 250 years later, their words speak true right now. These guys committed treason from the British monarchy. They all knew that they were going to be hung if they didn't win this war. And so it's amazing to me that we now are tearing down their statues. And it's just strange what's going on. I there's a great song. It's from Aaron Lewis. He's a country singer. He says, "Am I the only one?" Check out that song, "Am I the Only One?" It's an amazing song about how insane our country's become.
I hear you. Kevin, everybody I know in the industry, Morgan Brittany, Nick Searcy, everybody I know, other people, they talk about the influence of China on Hollywood. Now, the average Joe can't see this, because you see a movie on the screen. So is there a major problem here? And if there is there anything that could be done about it? And we never hear about this.
Well, once again, it comes back to the pocketbook. Hollywood can scream about socialism and communism, but let's face it, they're a capitalist industry. They want to make money. And so if we stop going to the movies they put out there, because the message is in there. Sometimes it's blatant, sometimes it's not. But it's as simple as, look at Top Gun Maverick, Tom Cruise's movie. Well, China would not allow that movie in there unless they removed the Taiwan flag that he had on his jacket. I mean, they come in and say, they want America to be portrayed as a horrible place. And they want China to be portrayed as a wonderful, amazing, forgiving place. China rules their people with the heavy hand of communism. But trust me, that's a government that's pure capitalistic. And they own half of America. I think most of our debt is with China right now. And China has bought up 450,000 acres of American farmland, and they're farming it, sending the food back to China. And they own most of Africa right now. They're going to Africa and throwing millions of our money, because it's our money we gave to them. And it's we got a battle in hands, and people need to start waking up, because it's inch by inch. They're taking it, but they're doing an amazing job. They're very, very smart and very clever what they're doing.
So basically what you're saying, the main problem is not China sitting here overlooking the films and telling people what to make. It's that if you want these films shown in China, it has to be China friendly.
Yeah, it doesn't have to say anything about China, but it can't be anything negative about China. Negative. They would not let that movie in there. I know the actor Christian Bale came out negative about all the slavery they have in China, and China banned all of his movies and banned him from ever coming back to China.
Right. I hear you. Kevin, you know, you're always welcome to come back to the show because I love talking to you and the audience loves talking to you. So before you go, please tell people how they can reach you and anything that you'd like to promote.
SorboStudios.com is the place to go. SorboStudios.com. We got my wife shares that site with me. It's our production site, but it's also our personal sites. You can pick up our books. You can pick up DVDs. You can just sign up. We'll keep you up to date for things coming on the pipeline. I've got a wonderful documentary called Hollywood Takeover. It's about the Chinese influence in Hollywood. I've got a movie opening called The Firing Squad. It's an amazing true story that I shot with Cuba Gooding Jr., who's an unbelievable, great guy. It's a true story in Indonesia where we're prisoners on death row. And the firing squad is still a way of execution in Indonesia. Story take place pretty recently in 2015. So I hope people will check that out. Firingsquadmovie.com. And also that was Epic Times that put together. And then the China Takeover is also Epic, the Hollywood Takeover, the HollywoodTakeover.com. Some great stuff, great information there. Check it out. You'll get a little educated. Nothing wrong with that.
Hey, Kevin, we appreciate you. Keep up the good fight. God bless you. God bless Sam and God bless the family.
All right. You too. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time once again.
Hey, great having you again. There you have it, Mr. Kevin Sorbo. Please support his films and support his venues, his ventures, because he's doing it the right way and for the right reason, for God, for family and country. Mr. Kevin Sorbo. I want to thank Kevin Sorbo for coming back. This was his fourth appearance on my podcast. And shining that spotlight on what is going on in Hollywood and how it's affecting each one of us in some way, because everybody watches television or goes to the movies or both. So you have to be very, very careful what you see today, people, because there's a hidden message in there. And this is what Kevin came back to talk about. So I hope this has helped raise your consciousness on they're not for us. They're certainly not for God. They're certainly not for our government as it applies to we the people. So hopefully you will try and make sure you get your families to watch good things, to watch nurturing things, to watch things that are uplifting, not the Marxist-laden garbage that a lot of what Hollywood is putting out. This podcast is available at radioinfluence.com. or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Hope you'll subscribe, leave a rating, and a review. The video, you can find it at YouTube, Rumble, Conservative Television of America. Hope you will subscribe. Hope you will give us a like, click, and hit that notification button so you'll get everything on time. And please leave a comment. We'd love to hear what you think of the show. And if you have some guests that you would like to see, let me know about that and we'll see what we can do. There is an audio podcast archive where you can find all the guests who have previously been on the show on audio. There's more than 150. We've got Morgan Brittany, Nick Searcy, Clay Clark, Monica Crowley, Carol Swain, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, poor Peter Navarro, he should not be in jail, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Gene Ho, Tom Holman, Ben Carson, Carrie Lake, Michael Loftus, Judge Jeanine Pirro, Will Witt, Brandon Tatum, just to name a few. Well, that's a wrap for now, everybody. Hope you had a good time. I know I did, because Kevin is fun to talk to. So until the next time, this is your host, Gary Benford, saying God bless you, God bless your families, and God bless America.